Now, some of the things that Julian was talking about are some of the options that are available to people who can't conceive, IVF, of course, being foremost among them. But whilst this technique has helped many, many people, it still has a lot of limitations. And it was one of the topics that was actually raised at the fertility show, which took place in London for the first time ever, actually, this week. Meera Senthilingam went along to meet Alison Murdoch, who is the Professor of Reproductive Medicine at Newcastle Fertility Centre, where she's been working on ways to actually improve the chances of IVF actually working.
You have to start really from where IVF began. And the first IVF treatment was over 30 years ago now. And although it has improved, it's not made it a treatment that is going to be guaranteeing that every single woman who comes along is going to achieve a pregnancy. We're now expecting about a quarter of people have one go at IVF to become pregnant. If women come along when they're a lot older, when their eggs are no longer of good quality, I'm afraid there's very little that we can do to help. But there's a lot that we can do, I think, to try and improve the techniques for IVF that we have at the present time.
So what are some of the limitations with regard to the IVF treatment itself? So when it comes to the creation of embryos or the health of embryos?
I think there's a lot that we can do to try and improve the way that embryos are actually grown within the laboratory. The standard techniques in the laboratory really haven't changed over the past 30 years. They involve handling embryos on a small dish and looking at them under a microscope and then walking across the room with them, putting them back into the incubator. Now, obviously, potentially, the embryo is going to be harmed by being cooled as you walk across the room. Traditionally, people have said it's impossible to do it any other way, but the embryologists led by Mary Herbert in Newcastle have actually worked very hard at this and found that it is possible to provide an isolator system. That means that basically when the sperm and egg go into an enclosed cabinet at the beginning of the IVF procedure, all the manipulations that are done, the checking the embryos, the checking the fertilisation, the ICSI procedures, are all done within an enclosed system so that the embryo that comes out 2 days later has never been in contact with the air at all. It means that we can control its environment totally.
So how does this new technology work exactly? So what are the various stages of it and what are the conditions that you're controlling during this?
The core part of conventional technology is an incubator where the embryos grow for most of the time, and a workstation where we do the manipulation, the insemination, and checking the embryos. Conventional technology is these two are separated. In the new isolated technology, they are actually directly joined to each other. So you can move from the working area directly to the incubator and directly back into the working area again. That means that the air in which the embryo is growing is constant. It never changes. It doesn't matter what's happening in the outside air, it will stay exactly the same. So we can control the temperature, we can control the gas concentration that's in the medium, we can make sure there's absolutely clean at all times. Theoretically, that might make better embryos. And the results that we've had, because we've been working with this technology now for over 18 months, does seem to suggest that we're likely to get better embryos because we're getting more pregnancies.
So what is the temperature then that you operate at, and what are these gases that you're controlling, and how are these benefiting the growth of the embryo?
A normal body temperature would be 36, 37 degrees. We did some experiments in the conventional system where you put a little microprobe to measure the temperature within the dish whilst it's sitting under the microscope. Under those circumstances, it's on a heated block and there's heated air, but there's a cooling effect. And within 2 or 3 minutes, the fluid that those embryos are lying in will cool down to maybe 32 degrees. That's very cold from body temperature. That's why embryologists have to work really quickly when they're looking at embryos. They want them out for as little time as possible and get them back. That doesn't give them time to spend the time looking carefully at the embryos, to grade them more accurately. So by controlling the temperature at all times, they can take as long as they want to make sure that they're doing exactly absolutely the right thing for the embryo.
And now you mentioned also that the gas concentrators are controlled. So which gases are controlled and what effect can this have on embryo growth?
And all gases are controlled. We need to make sure, first of all, that the carbon dioxide level is accurate. This is because the acidity in fluid is controlled by carbon dioxide. And if we have the wrong concentration of carbon dioxide, the fluid that the embryos are in can become too acid and can harm them. We also need to make sure the oxygen tension is right. In the body, the oxygen concentration might be about 5%, whereas in the air, it's 20%. We really don't know what harm that change would have in culturing embryos. But within an enclosed system, we can, of course, control that precisely and make absolutely sure that we have as near body concentrations as possible.
There must be, there's obviously a slight exposure to the natural environment between having made these embryos and then implanting it into the women. But I assume that's a very small gap then, and that will be accounted for too.
Yes, obviously when the embryo comes out of the incubators for finally to go back into the patient, it's got to happen that way. What we do though is we put the embryos in through a very fine catheter. The embryologist is sitting next to the patient. It's handed to the doctor to put, or the nurse to put back into the patient, and it literally will take a few seconds as it crosses the room. So I don't think that's an area we could do much about.
And so how much is this technology in use at the moment? So, and is it likely to expand and be used in more clinics?
Well, it still is very new, and ours is the first system, but there are other units now in Europe as well who are buying it, investing in it. I think it is the way it'll go, because intuitively it has to be better. If you had an embryo, if it were your embryo, would you want it to be subject to the external environment, or would you want it to be in an enclosed system where we can control it completely? And any embryologist will say it has to be theoretically better. It's still early days to see the impact on the quality of the embryos and pregnancy rates. We'll publish the data when we've got it completed.
Alison Murdoch, who's from the Newcastle Fertility Centre, and she was talking to Mira Senthilingam at the Fertility Show in London earlier this week.